Good morning, and thank you for joining me on Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show, TGIF. We have had an amazing week. We have had a fun week, but it always comes down to my Friday show. And I always tell people, I don't know if you want to be a guest on the Friday show because typically I have no idea what I'm going to say. But on Fridays, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say because it's Friday. It's a day to have fun. You know, if you're at home working virtually, you got your little Friday office jeans on, trying to relax. So this show, I'm going to make sure is especially fun so it can carry you out into the weekend. And so I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, but I especially want you to be extra vigilant today. I want you to disturb three people. That's right. I want you to wake three people up who are trying to sleep, minding their own business, but I don't want them mad at you, right? I don't want you to lose friends. And friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and waking your friends and making those calls and sending those tweets and inboxing people to let them know that we are live, I'm going to do what I came here to do. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And our first guest is a lady among gentlemen, which is rare. I always have all the women on the show. I can never get the guys on the show because they don't like to talk. They don't like to share their feelings. They don't like to communicate, but they do on the Roundtable Talk Show. I'm going to pick their. I told you, I don't know what I'm going to say. But our first guest is Megan LeJean, and she is a award-winning expert CEO who was once homeless. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
Good morning. That was a punchy intro, and I like that abbreviated bio. Hello, everybody.
Yes. I abbreviated. You know why I abbreviated it? Because it's Friday.
Hell yeah, it's Friday. Let's go.
That's my answer. Like I read a lot though. I was gonna come out in the conversation because you had challenges at 14, your parents, your life. And one of the reasons I enjoy doing this show is because there's always a story behind a company. There's always a story behind a business. Now we can look at you and you go, oh, you're successful. You're a CEO. Life must be easy for you. You're an attractive woman. You have it all together. But no, you had challenges in your life as a serial entrepreneur. Megan, tell us a little bit about yourself and your history.
Thanks, I appreciate that. And thank you so much for creating the space for me to come out here and do really what I love to do, which is to motivate and inspire others from all walks of life to just chart their own course and just be happy in their own skin. You know, as you said, I did grow up in a broken home. I was a foster kid and I experienced every single thing that went along with that stigma. Quite literally, the example of a black trash bag, white gloves, and a van picking you up and putting your worth into a bag multiple times over and over. That's how I grew up. At the age of 14, I couldn't handle it anymore. And I had this blue flame inside of me that said, go and thrive. So I ran away. I started my own life, and you know, decade and a half year later, I'm at the top of my game doing things I never thought that I possibly could do. I currently am employed by Toshiba America Business Solutions as a director of solutions and services. And I get to run a portfolio of offerings and deliver really cool products and tech out to customers to solve problems. But you know, as much as I love my day job, the truth is I want to give back and I want to help people just become the best versions of themselves. So that's why I'm kind of departing a little bit here and also starting up my own business as a CEO, LifeStamp. And it's really just about helping people find their why, discover their passions, and just go out there and live their truth. And a lot of that is wrapped up underneath this concept of personal branding. So that's me.
So often when we get our corporate job, I mean, the company that you work for, Toyota, that's no small mom and pop type company. So often when we're there, we like the security, we like the safety. You know, I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always tell people that nothing says I love you like direct deposit. Direct deposit was my thing, you know what I mean? Knowing that the money was going to be in the bank. And then now it's like, oh, be an entrepreneur. It might be there. It might not. Why not just stay in your corporate job as opposed to being an entrepreneur?
Oh, I'm doing it both. Let me be clear. I think the hierarchy and the need to be behind one logo doesn't exist anymore in this virtual world. I was an entrepreneur first, and then I turned into an intrapreneur at Toshiba because I really did want to feel that paycheck and not actually live in the clouds flying everywhere. It gave me this sense of stability, this battle-tested warrior mindset, and the ability to navigate, you know, the strategic and tactical things out there. And I love what I do. I probably work 14 hours a day for Toshiba every single day. But that also means that my vision and my mission and values are in alignment with theirs. It allows me to show up as my full self and to just get out there and do the things I'm passionate about in my free time. And that's where I find that equal yoking.
Okay, so if you're working 14 hours a day for Toshiba, where is their free time?
It's in a million little clicks offline and every single thing that I do. I mean, you got to be intentional. Are you death scrolling some bad news feed stuff, or are you actually getting out there and learning how to improve yourself and really just chasing the sun up every single morning to find that thing that makes you tick? And I'm finding it and I'm loving it.
You can tell, though. You can tell in your energy and your personality that you enjoy your day job,
40
hours for Toshiba, but you also enjoy working with people and helping people. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, what motivated you to help other people to find their why? Was there a specific instance, a specific situation where you looked and said, you know what, I have to help people?
You know, I think there were two things. There wasn't anybody that I could look up to when I was younger, specifically in business and also in tech. I'm in tech and I've been in tech my entire career, and there's not a lot of women in that place, and it's difficult. I mean, I went through the whole progression of wearing the man suit and trying to figure out how to walk and talk like them, and you know, it just wasn't me in my own skin. So when I became the definition of success and was put on a magazine cover and flown out to New York for a photo shoot, and people said, you know, this is the woman influencer in technology for 2019, I sat back and said, you know what? This doesn't feel right unless I tell the truth. And I'll be honest, imposter syndrome has hit me every single wave along my career. When I had to show up and didn't think that I was ready for it, I was worried that if I actually told my truth of never going to high school, didn't go to college, didn't have any connections, and I didn't have a clue, but I showed up and I worked, and I worked really, really, really hard. And I had to walk out in front of a lot of really accomplished people and own my truth and say that story, because I'll tell you what, the definition of who you are on paper does not determine your path forward. And my face on that paper would not mean that some person who came from my side of the world couldn't be successful. If you work, this is the definition of a leader today, somebody who puts in the energy and the work and just maintains their character and values through and through. So that was my motivation. It was number one, if you can't see her, you cannot be her. And I wanted to create that environment for somebody else. And number two, I needed to know that what I had went through had purpose. There was pain. I've broken ways that you can't even imagine a child would break. And I never, ever want somebody to go through that. So for that purpose, I will share my dirty laundry. I will explain my fails, because those fails made me the woman that I am today. It made me courageous and convicted in my passion and my pursuit to just go out there and find purpose. You know, take away the materialistic stuff. I have lost it more times than you can count. But I'll tell you what, show me an authentic person with character and truth, and I will be your loyal friend till the end.
Okay, and that's the show for today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. That was amazing. Like, I was like, oh my God, your energy, your spirit is amazing. I'm gonna come back to you. I want to introduce our next guest, but I know we're gonna be talking, because your energy, people just need to hear it and tune into it and just feel it, because so many people say they can't do something. And that's why I do the show. I'm like, no. Watch this show. You watch their story, and then don't tell me you can't do it. I want to also introduce our next guest, Bruce Sheridan, who's also a serial entrepreneur. Bruce, come on, what did you feel about Megan?
I feel unfortunate that I have to follow her.
I kind of thought that was coming.
But I'll give it my best. I really have a question, though. How does a 14-year-old survive in the world?
You want to get binary on this one? You know, I everybody lets a 14-year-old babysit, do construction work, sell Kirby vacuum cleaners, hit up Amway or Quickstar, under the table jobs. I made the best freaking mocha lattes over here in Orange County, California, and bagel sandwiches. You couldn't even imagine I was under 16 years old at the time. And you just work. You work really, really hard. And you do what it takes to put gas in that car. And when you buy the car and it's a manual and you don't know that, you figure out how to drive it. You know?
Wow.
I'm not for manuals. My ex-husband tried to teach me to drive one once. I messed up and I was like, why do they do this? Like, don't they have automatics? Like, I don't understand. I was confused. But
they repaved the 55 because of me that year. I'm telling you.
I have to go check it out there. Bruce.
Yes. That was impressive. That was so impressive. Well, I was born and raised in New York City area. Had a rough upbringing. Not as, you know, unfortunate, I think, as Megan, but I had, you know, my mom and dad were six kids and mentally and physically abusive dad. So I had a rough time growing up. I went to college and got out of Georgia Tech in 1981 and went to work, but I still had all those scars and I turned to alcohol and drugs. And at 25, I just fell on my knees in my living room, my apartment all by myself. And I said, God, you got to help me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like instantaneous, but within a week, I met a young woman. She introduced me to Jesus. I never knew her name and I never met her again. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, where did that come from?
Right.
And then also like a couple of weeks later, I got a DUI. So hired an attorney, went through that whole rigmarole. I get in court. Bottom line, the judge slams the gavel and says, dismissed for lack of prosecution.
Wow.
And I got in my car and realized God put that woman in my life and also the DUI in my life. Because technically there is no record exists that I ever had the DUI, but I went through it and it scared me to death. So, I just accepted Jesus into my heart, turned my life around. What I do to make money is up on that bookshelf behind me. I'm an EOS implementer based on the book Traction. But my passion now is I've started a company called Life Compass. And my dream is to help 18 to 28-year-olds plan and live a God-centered life. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm working on now.
Wow,
I'm doing two jobs, really. That one to make money and that one to serve.
Everybody has three or four jobs these days. Yes. You can't just have one. Even if you work for Toshiba 14 hours a day, you still got to have a little side hustle these days. Greg Hoffman says, thanks for sharing your story, Bruce. Love what you are doing for young people who need help.
Thank you.
Yeah, so people
That's a bit of a carrot and a stick story, if you ask me. You needed a little bit of bumper guards and you got kind of slapped back into spec here and pushed down a path.
Yes.
Absolutely. It is. Let's talk about Get a Grip.
Oh, Get a Grip is, these books back here are in the EOS library, which is the Entrepreneurial Operating System. Mm-hmm. So on a professional side, I've been very similar to Sharifa. I was corporate, entrepreneur. So now I'm an entrepreneur again. So, but my whole career has been helping companies set a crystal clear vision throughout the organization, also gain traction by having discipline and accountability throughout the organization. And then finally, I work with the leadership team of small businesses to help them work together more healthier and smarter and trust each other. Unfortunately, that's not the case most of the time. And I slowly work with them over the course of 18 to 24 months. They learn to, so everybody in the organization, if you walk around, you'll see they understand the vision and where the company's going. Their scorecards, we teach them a level 10 meeting, which is very disciplined. And you're working on the business for 90 minutes a week. And then finally, keeping track of what are the top priorities in the next 90 days and holding people accountable to get those done. And what it does, it moves a company so much quicker than they would have otherwise. Because it's so common for me to go in a company and they say, well, we've been working on that for 3 years. When I teach them this methodology, they get it done in 90 days. And they're like, we never thought we'd ever get this done. Wow. So you gotta really focus and very narrow, but on the top priorities. And if you're addressing the top priorities, like 20 or 30 of the other ones get knocked down, you know, incidentally, they just get fixed because you fix the biggest things that are impacting your business. So I took that and built a methodology, because 40 years I've been helping companies plan for their company. And my oldest son graduated from college and he had no plan for his life. Mm-hmm. So that's where I developed Life Compass, and I helped him. And he said, "Dad, so many of my friends could use this." So I go around now coaching young men, and I've got so many women raising their hands saying, "I want to help you coach women." So I just keep evolving Life Compass, and I don't ever charge anyone for it. It's a 501c3, you know, registered. So I'm just hoping God keeps that thing alive and going.
Yes, absolutely. We want to bless the people who are blessing us and blessing our youth. I want to go back to something that you said as far as the Life Compass, and you have started with your son, and his friends could need it as well. What are some of the aspects of the program? How do you help them plan out their life?
Yeah, I think I created four steps that I don't think are, I think they're easy, but to actually execute them as an individual may not be easy, but the steps are easy. So the first step is just dream and think about, where do you want to go with your life? And also try to picture yourself, where will you be in 3 years from today? And I tell them, take a minute and really think about that. So then I ask them to write down 4 to 5 goals in 4 categories: God, family, career, and budget. And I built an app. It's on Apple and Google Play, where you can go in and enter your goals under God, family, career, and budget. And then every day you rate yourself, red, yellow, or green. How am I doing against my goals? And it'll give you a 7-day graphic, a 30-day graphic, and since you started the goal graphic. And your goal is to get more and more green on each of your activities that are important to you. So the first one is thinking about it, writing it down. Second one is tracking and keeping track of your progress. Third is to review it at least once a quarter. And then the fourth is, look for advice and look for mentors and get help when you need it. So that's the model that I've built. And I sit down individually, probably like 90-minute meetings, like 2 or 3 90-minute meetings, to get them to think about where they want to go with their life, get it down, track your progress, and then review it at least once a quarter. So that's my dream. And I want to also have a physical location, because my 24-year-old said, "Dad, I go out with my friends. We go drinking at bars. We're trying to pick up girls. And I'm getting tired of that." And I'm like, wow. So I'd like to have a physical space where people can meet and just fellowship and love each other and care for each other.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's wonderful. I think we need more of that, helping people to, why can't we all just get along? That's what I've been trying to figure out. So I want to come back. Thank you. I needed that. I'm going to hold on to you. Okay. I need you here with me. I'm going to come back with you, Bruce. I want to go over to Dr. Sims. We were talking about Dr. Sims is best known as a motivational speaker, but also as a relationship expert. Dr. Sims, we talked to Megan, we talked to Bruce, and you can hear their stories. You can hear what they're going through. And a lot of that comes from their pain in the past, the pain in their families. And I think a lot of us deal with that, especially in relationships. So good morning, Dr. Sims. Thank you for joining us today.
Jim, good morning. Good morning.
I'm glad you're here with us.
Yes, I am too.
I like your background. I feel like I'm in a laboratory for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, I put a couple of my brains. I put them up though. I had 2 brains here.
I like it. Yeah. Talk to us about what you've been focused on lately, Dr. Sims.
What I've been focused on lately is just basically touring and wanting to talk more about helping people understand the brain, because I specialize in neuroscience and why we do what we do from an eco-biopsychosocial and spiritual point of view. So right now, this has given me more time to really concentrate to share more about why our brain is here and what we can use, how we can use it, and the components of the brain. And so I'm just like, really, this opportunity is like really great for me right now, because I'm just like totally concentrating on teaching about the brain.
I want to hear about the brain. I also want to hear from a relationship expert, because one of the things that I have seen during this global pandemic is, for some reason, everybody want to break up. Everybody wants to get a divorce. You know, I'm like, and I don't think a global pandemic is the ideal time for a divorce. If there is an ideal time, I didn't think this was it. But I'm not a relationship expert. That's why I wanted to speak to you, Dr. Sams. What have you seen?
I think a lot of people are starting to see the reality of their relationship, basically by being at home together, because sometimes, the majority of the time in a relationship, we have other things that we do. So we're not home 24 hours a day with that same person. So some people are discovering that they're just not happy in this relationship, and they've never been happy in the relationship. And this is the opportunity for them to get out of the relationship, because they're just coming into light of reality. And what they're saying to themselves is, life is short. And do I want to stay in this relationship and live like this when I don't want to be in a relationship? So, you know, basically they get out. So because at one time I had to go in and study this, because I started hearing as well. So I started calling other friends, and we started getting together saying, wow, well, what's really going on? Until we discovered what's really happening. And a lot of my friends or therapists or counselors, we were all just putting our research together and figured out that it's just coming to reality to some people, of saying, hey, wow, I want to be happy. I want to live the rest of my life happy. And when this pandemic is over, right, this is the opportunity for me to live a lot better instead of staying in a marriage that I really didn't want to be in.
I think you brought up some good points. You know, I think when I talk to my girlfriends and my friends at work, I think people, it's kind of two things. Number one, it's this craving for self-actualization and this this mindset of growth, you know, turning inward and seeing things, because those distractions, those shiny little squirrels, they're no longer there to defer your interest or your mind share away. And then I think just due to a lot of the things that we've all experienced month over month, exponential, just bizarre stuff that is happening, and we are just now absorbing this moment of intentionality, I think, right? And everybody is really just prescriptive with intentionality. If it doesn't serve you, if it's not making you happy, there's a lot of stuff in this world that is making our hearts heavy and our minds weak. And if you're not that person who's going to give me that dose of intentionality, I'm going to block it out just like a news station, you know, and push it away and repel that. So I appreciate that perspective from you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is a perfect time too, for, especially if you're single, I think it's a perfect time to get to know self a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I mean, this is a real, real good time. And to know if you're thinking about venturing off into the relationship arena later on, this is the time to get to know self, right? Mm-hmm. Try to understand your non-negotiable requirements, your needs, your wants, and understand that they're not the same, right? Mm-hmm. And once you get that together, then you, and also start thinking as an employer when it comes to relationship, you know, because you are the employer, the other person is actually looking to be hired. So you have to think about being an employer, but you're the employer, the body, yourself, right? So
you get to hire, fire, and promote on your own, right? This is your CEO of your own life. You better walk out there and be that person and hire, fire, and promote those people who need to serve you and help you be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in order to do that, you have to know self.
Yeah.
You know, so as an employer, when you're hiring somebody, you have to know who you're hiring, right?
Yeah.
So that means you have to know self in order, what are the questions you're going to ask? Because sometimes we get into relationships just based on the symmetric symmetry or the golden ratio, right? And, and then you're in that relationship and realize, wow, this is not the person I really You know, I was just so attracted to the person, you know, but you didn't ask the person the right questions based on, should I hire this person or not, right? So this is the time to really break down and say, what is it that I want? What is it that I'm looking for in a relationship? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. I'm going to come back to you, Dr. Sims. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest who has been sitting so patiently. Don't kill me, Ryan. I'm just going to say Ryan. Is that okay? Is that okay? Because sometimes I mess up John Smith, okay? So I'm just going to say Ryan right now. But our next guest, Ryan, speaks to us about retirement and confidence and finances. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Sharifa. Thanks for having me.
What is your full name, Ryan?
So my name is Ryan Kwiatkowski. It's
See,
a little bit easier than it looks.
I wasn't going to, you know, just butcher your name, because I would have butchered your name. And then Megan, this is Megan's fault. Let me tell you why this is Megan's fault. Because typically in the 15 minutes prior to the show, I ask everyone to pronounce their name so I don't butcher it. But then Megan, you know, we started girl talk, and then, you know,
we had to talk about you becoming the CEO. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to let that one go before in the pre-show. We had to have that moment.
We had that, and I appreciate that. But I didn't get to pronounce Ryan's name. But you're here with us this morning, so thank you. Now, because you look like a young, strapping man, why is retirement so important to you?
Thanks, Sharif. I appreciate that. So I am married, by the way.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to pick you up to the missus. Like I'm learning about self right now. I'm not trying to, you know.
I'm just kidding. Especially after Dr. Sims and the relationship advice. I'm just kidding. My wife will forgive you. Born and raised in Chicago. My family and I run a wealth management firm just outside of the city. And, you know, why is retirement important to all of us? Because at some point during our lives, whether it's today, me in my 30s, you know, any of us on the show or anyone listening or anyone who's even retired, I mean, at some point that typically stops. So whether you're someone, again, like me, if you're in your 30s and you're saying, all right, I want to work until I'm 65. Well, we have an opportunity, you know, to build a roadmap to figure out what that should look like, versus being on your 64th birthday and thinking, all right, I've got 12 months to go. Let's figure out what my retirement's going to look like. So it's really important at really all phases of life in your career. And even if you are retired and maybe you're doing something for fun or part-time, again, it's never a bad idea, you know, like Dr. Sims would know, you know, to medically get a second opinion from someone. So hopefully that makes sense.
It made perfect sense. Totally. Again, I want to go back to, why are you so passionate about it though? Because it seems like, and the reason I say this, because I was reading through your website and the words that stood out to me was a lot about financial confidence and being confident in your finances. So it seemed to me more driven by service, like we talked about earlier with Bruce, as opposed to just saying you don't want to get to 64 or 65 and don't have anything. Was there a personal experience or what led you down this path?
Yeah, so another great question. So luckily for me, I mean, I grew up with probably one of the best mentors I could ever ask for, and that's my dad. So he moved our family to Chicago in the mid 80s, and I'm the only one that was born here in our family, but he was a trader downtown. So, I mean, he was in that world and entrenched in it. And actually the stock market crash of 87 was what caused him to say, hey, you know what, there's gonna be a lot of people that are gonna need help and handholding, especially through these challenging times. Mm-hmm. So he started his own business. So he had kind of some corporate experience and became an entrepreneur. And I mean, for me, you know, again, I've had the opportunity to really live and grow around the business. I mean, as it was 25, 30 years ago, that's what we talked about at the dinner table. Fast forward to today, my wife works at a hedge fund. So it's our dinner conversation. So nothing's really changed. So I really feel like it's been in my blood. And the nice thing is, you know, I'm now in the business as a next generation owner. And, you know, I look back to when he started to build the business and he was meeting with clients on a Saturday or Sunday morning. And I'd be in the conference room, you know, just drawing on a whiteboard. And again, let's bring it back to today's present time. And I get to personally meet with those clients now. And I know you can't tell over Zoom, but I'm 6'5". I'm a large person. A lot of people ask me where I played college football, and I actually never played. But the point is, a lot of these clients come in now and they say, "Hey, Ryan, I remember when you were this tall," you know, and they're putting their hand about 2.5 feet off the ground. So it's just a really unique opportunity that I have in terms of, you know, working with these same clients. And now we're working with 2, 3, and 4 generations of some of these same families. So it's not only building a legacy for our clients, but it's also our families building our legacy as well.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's wonderful. Again, I love hearing the story behind the company. I get bored with companies. That's a product. That's a service. But what's the story? Like, how did you get here? And something that is generational. I think that's amazing. Now, as far as retirement, we talked to Dr. Sims about relationships during this COVID-19 global pandemic. I know retirement is one of those things where people are like, you know what? I may not live forever. I may not work forever. I think I need to look at the future. Have you seen an increase in people interested in retirement accounts?
Yeah. So it's, you know, when you look at a time frame like we've all been through, you know, 2020 is obviously not the year that any of us expected, right? If we go back to, you know, New Year's Eve 2019, you know, we're all out celebrating, you know, the economy's doing well, you know, 401ks and the stock market's doing well. You know, we're out at restaurants, we're out at concerts and, you know, sporting events. So, you know, again, the scope of when things change so drastically, like they did starting in the first quarter this year, even through today. Yeah. I mean, it makes people say, you know what, am I in the right place? Should I retire? How's my health? You know, did I get laid off? You know, do I have a severance package? You know, and there's just a lot of variables that go into a time frame like this. And that's really what causes people to say, hey, you know what, I need to raise my hand. I've got questions and I just need to speak with a professional. So frankly, when things get choppy, like they have been really for most of this year, you know, it's a great time for us. We have a lot of conversations with, a lot of our clients, and then also just, you know, other referrals that come in just saying, hey, I really just would like a second opinion on what my situation looks like.
Are there any general tips that you can offer to our audience as far as retirement, when they should start a retirement, what that should look like, what they should start about? Are there general rules of thumb?
Yeah, there's definitely a few rules of thumb. One, it's going to be very different for every single person who's on the Zoom or watching today. But I would say generally rule number one, the question is, when should I start investing for my retirement? The answer is yesterday. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's really most important to think about having dollars grow and work for you and just really having time in the market. It's not what you hear people saying, well, I'm trying to time the market, right? I'm expecting X, Y, or Z to happen because the election's coming up. And I think this is what's going to happen to the market. And I'm waiting for it to drop 10 or 20 or 30%. And then I'm going to put money in. That's really not the right way to look at it. So if you've got a longer time horizon, so 10 plus years, 20, 30 plus years, you want to have time in the market. So don't delay. A lot of you who are working in corporate America, hopefully you have a 401k or some sort of a retirement option. Max out your 401k. If you're over age 50, there's a catch-up contribution, so you can put in some additional dollars as you get closer to retirement as well.
I like that. Bruce, I want to go over to you real quick. You work with our youth, and one of the key terms that you mentioned was budgets. You know, there's a lot of conversation right now about how, you know, we took a lot of things out of our school system. We focus on, you know, obviously the basics, but when students get out of school, they don't even know how to do a budget. They don't know how to open a checking account. Someone was sharing a story with me as a guest on one of the shows. She said she was working with a young man and she had helped him get a job. And so he was there for 6 months. She didn't really talk to him. He came back 6 months later to her and he was like, I can't, you know, I don't like this job. I hate this job. I've been working for 6 months and they haven't even paid me. You know, I don't even have any money. They didn't even give me any money. So she was like, how is this possible? How do you work for 6 months? So she goes and talks to the people. They're like, we're paid him. We gave him his check. So she goes back to him. He's like, oh, they didn't give me any money. They just gave me these pieces of paper. So he didn't know that he was expecting cash. So he didn't know that they were checks that he was being paid with. And it's all like educating our youth. Bruce, talk to us a little bit about how you can help educate our youth, budgets, and so forth.
Well, it's such an interesting point. And I can actually give you experience with my own oldest son. When I originally was dreaming about Life Compass, I thought, you know, God, family, career. That's how I've modeled my whole life. And then the budget thing came after I sat down with my son and I said, how much you think an apartment's going to cost? He's like, I don't know, $300? Okay, that's not going to work.
Said, is that in America?
Yeah, exactly. maybe in Venezuela or something.
Right.
So I said, how much will your cell phone cost? He goes, well, you're not going to keep paying for that? I'm like, I put him through college at NC State, and I don't even know what that, over $100,000. And to your point, I'm like, well, how about your car insurance? He goes, I got to pay car insurance? I'm like, yes. So I go through all these things, and I'm just shaking my head. I realize he doesn't have a clue
right.
on what it costs to live. So that's right. when I put in the budget piece. And what I do is I have a template where I put I think I cover 90%, you know, there could be oddities. And even paying back his college loans. He's mm-hmm. like, why do I have to pay these? I don't want to pay these. And I said, well, you can ruin your credit rating and maybe they'll chase you. A collection agency might chase you. I said, but they gave you this money to go to college and you made a commitment. You got to pay them back. He's like, wow, but dad, it's like $453. I'm like, hey, you got to pay it back. So
it reminds me, I don't know if you saw it, but it's like, it reminds me of that old Cosby show where Dr. Huxtable was teaching Theo about finances and he took the Monopoly money and he gave it to him and he started deducting things. I yeah. always remember that. I use that as an example. My kids are 23 and 26 now. And my 23-year-old, he's working. And he's like, Mom, it just seems like I work and pay bills. And I'm like, welcome to adulting. That's what we do.
Yes. So I'm so glad that actually he was, Life Compass didn't even exist when I sat down with him, but I'm so glad that I realized he doesn't have a clue how to manage money. And mm-hmm. to your point, he didn't know how to write a check. I'm not sure. Most young people in their 20s don't even have checkbooks.
Right.
They just don't use them anymore. My other son was going to the DMV to get his license plate. And he goes, how do I pay? I said, well, you probably want to bring a check. He goes, but I don't have a check. And I'm like, you sure the bank didn't give you like a little book when you opened it? So we had to find his checkbook so he could go to the DMV.
It's so much. We gotta help our youth. We got, you know, because they don't know what's going on. I want to go to Dr. Sims real quick. Finances, budgets, but again, relationships. I love the aspect that you said, this is a time to work on self, because that's exactly what I've been doing. Eventually I'll get married again. I'll find a man, you know, but I don't think a global pandemic is the ideal time to go out trying to date. You know what I mean? Because you can't go anywhere. I wouldn't want to kiss somebody, you know, I'm playing it safe. But what have you seen as, I know we talked about divorces, but I also seen people do things very creative as far as relationship. People are having Zoom dates where they, you know, you bring a bottle of wine, I have a bottle of wine, we sit here on Zoom, you know, and talk. Have you seen more things like that, Dr. Sims?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People are being really, really creative. And I like that too. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, wow, okay. That's pretty creative. And you probably see a lot of people having a podcast too as well, trying to hook other people up, trying to connect people together too. And I think that that's pretty cool as well. And thank goodness for Zoom or Face Chat, you know, or Facebook. And, you know, I think it's totally awesome to get to know someone. I think it's also good that normally we move too fast in a relationship, right? So this is actually helping people to get to know somebody, right? And that's why I said it's really important to understand the non-negotiable, the needs and the wants, so you can actually ask questions. So you can actually ask questions about the person. And I think it's really cool. And I think it's really great to help yourself to become more creative when it comes to relationships, right? And this is a great opportunity for us to be honest. I mean, what can you lose is to be honest. You know, I'm originally from Chicago. And I before I came to California, I lived in Lincoln Park. You know Lincoln Park, Ryan?
Yeah.
So I lived in Lincoln Park. I met a young lady, and I was just leaving a pizza place, and I met a young lady, and we had a wonderful conversation, and I asked her for her telephone number, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, do you have a boyfriend?" And she said, "I have friends." So that was up to me whether I wanted to be one of those friends, right? And I was like, wow, okay, that was honest. And I was like, okay, well, we exchanged telephone numbers. And when I called her, she's like, "Hi, Rael, I have company right now, but can I call you when my company leave?" So she was honest. And from there on, I learned the key in relationships is just being honest to give that other person a choice whether they want to deal with you or not.
I like that because I learned that from Ryan. Ryan says his name and then I married. Like, he doesn't want to get in trouble or anything. He wants everybody to know.
Yeah, Ryan went straight there.
I know. He's like, "I'm married." And it's like, "Ryan, I was just giving you your coffee." Like, it's your coffee.
Yeah.
That's his disclaimer, okay?
Yeah.
Megan, I want to come back to you for a moment. We talked about finances. We talked about relationships. But to me, you are like this icon. I like that word, and I don't use that word loosely, but because you have this corporate image and then you're helping people. How have you seen as far as your network being able to relate during these time frames? I know we're all going through challenging times, and maybe this is the time, like you said, where we look and go, okay, I'm working on my finances, I'm working on my relationship, I'm working on my career, but what is my why? Why am I here? What am I doing? Talk to us a little bit about that, Megan.
You know, let's just start off by saying these days, your network is your net worth, right? So to our financial guys out there, I've always been an extrovert in a professional capacity. I've had throughout my career the opportunity to work with really seasoned, high caliber professionals and great brands across the globe, and had the opportunity to travel internationally for Toshiba representing their brand and their technology. And so I've lived that in my real life, in my physical life. And you know, when COVID hit, I think people, they got a little awkward in trying to figure out how to show up digitally, if I'm being honest. It was like trying on a pair of clothes or a suit that just didn't fit for you. You got people going on live, putting weird stuff on different social media channels, and just kind of coming out there in a pretty different way. And through some of those different types of cycles, you know, I thought, you know, am I being authentic digitally the same way that I am in person? And to be honest, it kind of made me feel a little icky because I wasn't. I was being pretty starchy and corporate, and that wasn't really who I am. You know, I've got a humble hustle vibe, but there's some grit and grace behind that, and it's because of the life that I've had. And so going back to what you said about what is your why, that's directly to the comment earlier about finding what your dream is. To me, I call that vision. I want your hairy, audacious goals, the things that you are just out there on the farthest horizon, you will chase the sun up to find every single day. And that's your why. And, you know, that's where I found this whole concept of personal branding. And it was kind of a byproduct of what I do for Toshiba. You know, I build products, I bring them to market. And I always ask, what is it? What is it for? What does it do? You know, what problems does it solve? Now I get to ask people really intentional questions. Who are you? What do you believe in? You know, what are you willing to do every single day to chase that? What are your values? Is your mission and your vision in alignment? And are you in pursuit of that every single day? So I wrote a book. It's called A Million Little Clicks. It's on its way out here pretty soon. And it's going to walk you through that. It's going to walk you through what's your vision. And then it's going to help you figure out your story. Because I'll be honest, my story was awkward as heck to tell my entire life. And until I just decided to wear that truth, it was never going to work, right? So figuring out how to tell my story so that other people could understand why I have that grit and also that grace behind me was really important. And then moreover, it gets into the tactics, which was really what you guys talk about on the end result. It was, how are you going to show up digitally? Is it going to be a photo, a video, a podcast, a webinar? Is it going to be in a corporate professional look and feel, or are you more the behind the scenes kind of person? So from the marketing side, you can't build the tactics and the visuals of who you're going to be without figuring out who you are, because that truly is the definition of how you're going to find your people. People want to buy from brands and be attached to people that they truly find similar character traits in. My values and my vision and my mission, they are worn on every digital platform that I have. And I openly explain where I've come from and where I am going, because if you are a part of my tribe, you are going to get in the same boat with me and we're going to help each other get there. And I'm unapologetic about it. So I just found a way to pursue my skill set and my passion while helping others. And I feel that that is how you move from a work-life, you know, balance to this work-life blend, this integration of just really becoming your full self and showing up in the way that's authentic to you.
You know what? That was so beautiful. I just love that though. But I know there had to be some type of transition, because you ran away as a young child, as a teenager, and now you have this whole image. I mean, I know there had to be a day. I mean, my psychic telekinesis is kicking in right now. There had to be a day where you saw yourself making that transition or that change, because I know when you're in that mindset, you're more in hustle mindset. Hustle mindset is focused on the day to day, figuring out how you're going to eat today, figuring out how you're going to survive today, figuring out where you're going to sleep today. Corporate is a long term. Let me sit down, make some goals, make strategies, and that's a different person. You know what I mean? And I've heard it said, we live so many lifetimes within one lifetime. But it, to me, there had to be either a mentor or something, some book that where you went, okay, this is the person I want to become.
You know, I've got an insatiable appetite to learn, because the luxury of education was never something that I had available to me. You talk about youth development and showing people that they have access to resources. I had no idea that there were people out there who wanted to help a foster youth like me. I hid behind my story. I didn't tell people about that. But I'll tell you, you know, the moment of impact for me, the moment that I really truly understood the concept of, if you can see her, you can be her, not in that phrasing until I got much older, was when I was 12 years old. And, you know, it was the first year I had been put in foster care. I have four siblings, now I have five. And we all have different dads, with the exception of my sister. And it was Christmas time, and I was alone with my sister. My brothers had went off to their respective fathers, and it was Christmas. I wasn't getting trees under the presents, and nobody was really doing all those, you know, Christmas things with us. And our social worker went and found my grandparents. My grandparents lived in Orange County, California. And that first flight that I took was to Orange County, California. And I came out of John Wayne Airport and I looked up to that statue, and that entire trip was immersive. I went to South Coast Plaza when Rainforest Cafe was there. I was, you know, just brought along the dream of the sounds and the lights and the feeling and this just energy. And I looked outside and I saw a businesswoman. I saw a woman with confidence. I saw a woman with grit. I saw somebody who had purpose in where she was going and what she was going to believe in. And I will tell you, that very moment, this little blue flame inside of me just went, and I became a California dreamer. And I knew that if I wanted to have something different, that vision, that image, that version of that person that I could become was not so far off from where I was today. And it was just waking up every single day and getting at it. So yeah, I read books. I read everything from The Magic of Thinking Big to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, to How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, I went down the Zig Ziglar rabbit holes left and right before you even had, you know, websites to know how to Google who he was, you know, and it was hard work, but I listened. I listened for the first decade of my career. I heard, I watched, I received information and all of those inputs until I got that confidence to be that businesswoman and just get out there and let my work show for itself. So yeah, I'll be honest, you know, it was that vision of who I wanted to become, but I still hid behind who I was. I didn't want anybody to see that version of me because I thought that they would give me pity, not actually get with me and help me on this charge in life. And it wasn't until I kept getting all these industry recognitions for young influencer and woman influencer that I was like, hang on a second, let me lift my head up real quick and redefine what you guys think that is, because I'm not from pedigree. I don't have privilege. I cultivated this privilege. I work so hard for what I have. And my motivation is to make you happy and to make sure that our visions are in alignment. So you're right. You went down that rabbit hole and you found my moment of impact. So
it had to be there.
It was there.
To be there because you exude strength, right? And I know as a little girl, even though you had this journey as a little girl, there had to be fear there. So that's a different mindset than this businesswoman who sits in front of me. So I applaud you and I applaud everything that you're doing to be the voice for other people when they start to say, oh, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that, because I'm a woman, because I was in the foster system because of this. I didn't have parents. All people always give you a million different excuses why they can't do something. And for every excuse, I can show them someone who has done it. I know that's hard to follow, Ryan. I know. I apologize in advance. But I want to ask you, because Megan mentioned so many great books. What are some of the things that have motivated you along your path?
Yeah, great question. So, a lot of motivators. I mean, first and foremost, my family. And that's evolved over time. So now, you know, I look at someone like my wife, who I think is, my guess is pretty similar, Megan, to you, just in terms of, you know, trying to be an innovator, you know, this idea of women in tech, and that bubble is growing and building. So if you think about, you know, traditional finance and Wall Street, private equity and hedge funds, I mean, you just think, you know, frankly, just think about a bunch of old white men. So it's the same thing, you know, that I get the chance to work, you know, and obviously enjoy a life with my wife as she is kind of building that momentum, in her space as well. So, you know, thankfully I have a lot of people surrounded by me, you know, that, love on me, I love on them. And, it's a really good community to grow off each other.
Mm-hmm. It's about the tribe. You have a tribe, Dr. Sims?
Yes, I do. Yeah, and you're right, it is. It's about the tribe. It's about creating that tribe and knowing how to create that tribe. I think it's really important, and to understand why it's important. And this is how we've been surviving, you know, since the biblical times, since day one, is by our tribe. And we survive, we're more successful by actually living and creating and being within that tribe. Yeah.
Yes. And Bruce is using his tribe for ideas. And so some people look at their kids and go, you're a kid, you don't know anything. Bruce looks at it and says, this is an opportunity for me to help youth and young people. So I think that's wonderful. What are some of the books that you've read and that you can recommend, Bruce?
I've read all five of those books on the shelf.
Which one is your favorite? I just like get a grip, because I think that's a cool phrase. Like sometimes when people are freaking out, you just want to like get a grip. Okay.
Well, the black book there is Traction. That was the one that started the whole thing. And then the other ones are all co-authors with the founder. So Get a Grip is like a fable of a leadership team going through the transformation. And I love that because it's got characters and you really get to put yourself in the seat of all those characters. And it's a really good story that takes you through the whole thing. And I love it because
Traction. I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
Traction is the founder, and it's really, if you read Traction, a lot of companies are self-implementing. It's that good of a book. It like just tells you exactly what you got to do. So Get a Grip is very similar, but it's more of a fable, like a story, where Traction is very prescriptive. You know, this is how you do it. And then the other books are just support. Like one of the things we talk about in a company is you have a visionary and an integrator. Mm-hmm. And successful companies, they are on the same page and they work together and they embrace that they're very different. They're very different.
Yeah.
Because the visionary has got 20 new ideas a day. The integrator is the one that makes it happen. So they're almost like a filter.
Yeah.
They'll absorb those 20 new ideas and then just tell the company about one. Because if there was no integrator in the middle, every day would be 20 new ideas and people running around like, you know, crazy people. So, yes. You know, you got to have those. That's Rocket Fuel is about, the integrator. The whole book is just how does that visionary and integrator work together? So we, I'm trying to think of, I guess the Bible is one of my favorite books.
I can imagine. I can definitely imagine. I kind of saw that coming, Bruce.
Yeah. Now, people are like, so how do you do this? I'm like, well, the Bible says that, blah, blah, blah. Because when I first started reading the Bible, I thought, oh, you got to be kidding. I got to do that. I got to do this. It felt punitive, like, really? I can't do that anymore? But then what I came to embrace is if you follow what's in the Bible, at least for me, it's the best life you can live. It's not really meant to be, you know, it's stopping you from doing things that you're going to cause yourself pain and regret later.
And I think that is so true and so beautiful. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Ryan.
Perfect. Thanks, Sharifa. So again, thanks for having me this afternoon. You know, my takeaway is really just, you know, be patient going through these trying times, especially when it comes to your money and your finances. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you got a severance package. Maybe you're thinking, hey, is this the right time to retire or not? Just stay on your true long-term path. Continue to put money away for your future. You know, if anyone has any questions, we offer free consultations. So I'd be happy to spend some time with you and offer some ideas and some advice. But again, whether you're an entrepreneur or, like Megan said earlier, you are, you know, in corporate America and you're an entrepreneur, you know, hopefully at some point all of us want to hang it up and, you know, throw the shoes in the trash can. So if that's the case and you have questions, you know, we're more than happy to help and be a resource to anyone.
I appreciate that. I'm going to hang it up pretty soon. I'm by an island in the Maldives and there will be no shoes on my island. I'm just going to run around barefoot. Yeah. Dr. Sims.
Mine is really short. It's basically preparing yourself to prevent repairing yourself. And that
say that again. I'm sorry, say it again.
Preparing yourself to prevent repairing yourself.
Ooh, I like that. I missed the repairing the last. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's basically, you know, taking out time to prepare yourself for what you're going to do, not just for a relationship, but what is it that you want to do in life, right? What are your goals? This is the time to prepare yourself and make sure that you use that strategy of preparing, you know, for out throughout your life, you know, so it can prevent yourself from repairing, right? Because yes, there are times that we fall and it helps us and we learn from it, right? But there are also times that if we prepare, we can prevent that as much as possible. Yeah. So that's mine.
I like that. Short and sweet. I like it. Bruce, what do you have for us?
I just want to encourage young people. Ages 18 to 28 are really difficult years, but you want to make the best of them. You want to enjoy your life. I found Jesus when I was 25 and it turned my life around. I'm pretty sure I would be in jail or dead if I hadn't found him. So just think about where you want to go and work at going there and take responsibility for your relationships and take responsibility for your finances. And you know, the more work you put into it, like Megan talked about having to work hard, it's not easy. If you put in the time, you're really going to benefit.
I like that. And I definitely agree that age frame is very important. I remember when my son was 21 and we were having this long conversation. At the end of the conversation, he said to me, he said, thank you for talking to me, Mom. And I said, no, son, thank you for talking to me. because how many 21-year-old young men want to sit down and have a conversation with their mother? You know, they want to talk to their friends and their girls, you know? So I was like, oh my God, I have an opportunity to make a difference and to talk to them. And we've always, you know, had these conversations. So I agree, definitely very important. Megan, we're at the end of the show. Go ahead and take us on out.
First of all, I just want to thank you for your heart and creating the space for us all to come together. I am such a big believer in diversity of thought, and bringing people with the same mindset together does not help us elevate and have all voices heard, you know, so that's something I'm really passionate about. So thank you so much for that. What I want to tell everybody who's watching this today is that I truly am living proof that the definition of who you are on paper does not determine your path forward. You can be anything that you want to be. If you tap into the resources, if you find the people, your tribe, you will become that version of yourself that you want to be. And I believe in you. If you want it, if it's something that you want to chase until the sunrise comes up, you need to get at it. And I don't care if it's because you want to play with the Rubik's Cubes, or if you want to get in the games, or if you want to read books, or if you love to run, you find the thing that makes you come up alive so much faster, and you chase it until that sun cannot come up quick enough the next day. Because I will tell you, that's when you are going to feel alive in ways you never thought possible and get to that point where you truly can feed and care and cultivate other parts of your life. So I believe in you. Use all the things that I went through and just avoid them in your future and just become the best version of yourself you can be.
I love that. I love that you sat there and said, I believe in you. That's one of the things that people need to hear, especially when they're starting out as entrepreneurs. Because when I started out, when I built my first website in 1994, my tribe, my family said I was lazy and I was crazy. You know what I mean? Because in 1994, what I was doing, working virtually at home, was unheard of. So they're like, no, you have to go get a job. So often that's the main thing that I do for business owners and entrepreneurs, is just simply say, I believe in your dream. I'm your biggest cheerleader. You can do it. Let me help you do it. And sometimes that's all they need, is someone else to believe in them. So thank you for believing in me, for being here today. Thank you all for being a guest today. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live. I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for the comments. Jade Elizabeth, thank you for tuning in. She says the book that she recommends is A Course in Miracles, a fantastic book. I love that book as well. I also want to thank everyone who is watching the show in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean that you're not important. You are important. We appreciate you. Please go ahead and share the show. But don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Support our guests. Visit their websites. Ryan's offering a free consultation. Megan's going to believe in you. Bruce is going to pray for you. And Dr. Sims is going to help you get it all together. So please utilize the resources that we have presented to you. Follow them on social media. Send them a tweet. Send them a message. Whatever you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.